This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host. Joining me today is InsideTexas.com publisher Eric Nahlin. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Good to be doing this again.
Yeah, I know. I took a week, for those that don't know, I took a week-long hiatus because I got hit by COVID. And it was no joke. And it knocked me on my butt. But I feel good to be back at it now. And it's just in time for some big news with Longhorns. It seems like on Friday night, the levee broke almost as it relates to this. And let's start this edition of State of the Program with discussion around Ohio State portal transfer, originally from South Lake Carroll, Quinn Ewers, who is now in the transfer portal in Texas, is in deep pursuit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that this time the big Quinn Ewers news didn't crash inside Texas. We were able to stay up through all that. What a wild day. You know, we've been expecting him in the portal since mid-October, and then that kind of got put to bed, and those rumors died down pretty quickly. At one point in October, we felt fairly confident that he would end up being the next quarterback at Texas, or at least join the competition in the spring. And then, you know, like I said, that died down. I think those rumors started to get out, and then they were intentionally put the fire out on that before it really took off. And then, you know, he entered in after a lot of people thought that no Ohio State would lose no quarterbacks until after spring football. Obviously, he had other designs. And so now we wait to see how it plays out. Today he's visiting Texas Tech, and they are a real threat.
Yeah, I think the Red Raiders are definitely a threat. At the same time, Ewers grew up loving the Longhorns. It was his childhood dream school. Obviously, he picked Ohio State. Many of us feel that Tom Herman botched that recruitment, to be kind. Sure. Actually, it's not even kind. It's just reality. But my point and question to you, Eric, as we look at it, you know, the season and the confidence is, I think the confidence in Ewers eventually becoming the Texas quarterback in part waned from the season that Texas had this year. I mean, didn't you get that feeling as well?
It kind of harkened back to his recruitment the first time, where, you know, Texas had him in August. He was believing that Tom Herman was about to turn the page, and then, you know, they struggled greatly. Even though they went 7-3, they still had their struggles. They looked really poor versus TCU, really poor versus Tech even in that victory. And then that Baylor game where Sam got beat up and he said he was out of here. I think he was giving Texas still that same benefit of the doubt. It's a school that he kind of wants to go to. And then, you know, that drama unfolded. And really that I think the Bo Davis bus incident, while it energized the fan base, I think that kind of sent a signal to Quinn where he's like, man, they still have some issues there. And I think that really opened up the door for Tech once he decided to enter the portal. And maybe even before, it seems like Tech has been working some pretty good back channels, at least from my vantage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing that the guys from Double Eagle, the shale company, are definitely involved in this somehow. That they're both, one of them's on the board at Texas Tech. And I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that, so to say anything more than that would be presumptuous. But it is true that Quinn has worked out with Bobby Stroop out in Tyler, and he is in contact with in contact directly. With Pat Mahomes, who also works out with Stroop out of Tyler. And McCombs on Friday night tweeted Reckham for no apparent reason. There was no basketball game that I'm aware of.
Mahomes' quarterback coach, Zach Kittley, is under consideration to become the offensive coordinator at Texas Tech. Bobby Stroop, who is kind of a buddy of mine, buddy of Justin Wells, he's always been very good to us. Is, of course, like you said, he's Mahomes' personal trainer up there in Kansas City. He's a good dude. We're not suggesting they're doing anything wrong at all. In fact, I admire what they're trying to do. You know, when NIL first started getting brought up a couple of years ago, I said this is actually going to be good for the smaller programs that have highly motivated donors. It only takes one or two guys to change a program. Imagine T. Boone Pickens in this climate. He'd be loving it. And that's what the Double Eagle guys are. And they're making a full throttle pitch at a kid that kind of profiles to exactly who would appeal to what they're trying to do.
Here's my only thought, though. You know, Texas, I think, can match any kind of NIL deal, match or exceed. If the parties are coalesced, right?
Yeah.
My thought process as I'm looking at it, you've got a first year head coach in Joey McGuire, never been a college head coach. You can like him until you're, I don't know Joey that well. I know some of you guys do. He's apparently a great dude. Like, you know, everybody loves him.
I love Joey McGuire.
Yeah, but he's still a first year head football coach on the college level, only been in the college game 4 years. And even then, never had a side of the ball, you know. And then you add in a young coordinator potentially that has developed no NFL draft picks compared to what is – and then you compare that to what Steve Sarkisian has developed. And if Quinn Ewers is being offered $3 million a year to go to Texas Tech, $2 million, $1 million, whatever the $500,000, whatever the number is, right, from an NIL funds perspective on the down low, however that works these days. If that's the case, then, you know, that's somewhat financially short-sighted because Mahomes' contract is $500 million.
Right.
You know, and so at what point do you step over dollars to pick up pennies?
Right.
Exactly. Don't you want to be developed and make sure you're developed? And then you add in factors like a guy like Xavier Worthy's coming back.
Yeah.
And the pieces are there that you've got a guy like Bijan Robinson that's going to join you in the backfield to make sure it's not all on you. Four of the five starting offensive linemen are coming back. And believe it or not, Texas actually protected their quarterback decent this year.
I'm with you on that as far as over pennies. You know, Mahomes played for Cliff Kingsbury. He didn't play for Zach Kittley. And Steve Sarkisian, sort of the Cliff Kingsbury on the opposite side of the ball in the modern game. So, yeah, I hear you. I mean, I don't know what the years are going to do. So we can sit here and say what we think is rational and all these things, but we're not sitting at the poker table, and so it's hard to get a good clear read of the hands everybody's holding.
And I agree with that completely. I mean, I think that anything without direct access to knowledge of that situation from Quinn and his parents and the close acquaintances, I think you're shooting in the wind kind of based on logic versus reality. And the two don't always meet, right? As we know very well in recruiting in general, those two things just don't go together all the time. Let's step on. I know everybody wants to we could do a whole episode on Quinn Ewers. You and I both know that. Let's move on. You mentioned today in a post that if Gary Patterson does work with the University of Texas, you think it's going to be as an off-field analyst role, not as an on-field coach at this time.
Yes, and the reason I think that is because I'm catching wind of another defensive move that maybe the Texas the staff is looking at. And if they make that one, it would preclude Patterson, I would think, from being in an on-field role. We've also heard from some people in Fort Worth area that Patterson is looking at more towards the analyst role if he were to coach at Texas. So we're just kind of putting those two and two together. Obviously, any capacity they can get Patterson in is good, but it only makes real sense that he's not an on-field capacity if they make a really good hire. And the guy that they're looking at would make a lot of sense from a football perspective.
Gotcha. So, you know, I'm thinking about this as it relates to Patterson. One of the things that you revealed in that post, Eric, is that you said there was some thought that Gary Patterson might go to OU to be the defensive coordinator for Bob Stoops if Bob Stoops just had a transition year at the helm of OU. That, however, is no longer taking the place. It looks like Brent Venables is going to be officially named the Sooner head coach. Anything, any impact there on the Longhorns as it relates to OU that you can immediately think of?
As far as Venables being the head coach? No, if you're going to trade Lincoln Riley for Brent Venables, you make it all the time. I think a lot of Texas fans are selling some of these hires short. even the Marcus Freeman hire at Notre Dame. But you know, when that administration has this familiarity with these guys, you know, they know what they're looking at. They know what they're dealing at. They're able to weigh the pros and cons much more than you or I. So it might look curious that Freeman got the job over Fickell at Notre Dame, but the administration has definitely seen some things they like. And I think that same thing holds true with Venables. So if they pair him with Jeff Lebby, that makes a lot of sense on paper. I don't know that, you know, they're going to be dynamic recruiters or anything like that. Maybe NIL helps overcome some of those people that are lacking those recruiting personalities. I don't know for sure. But you know, I can understand why Texas fans think that it's sort of a lackluster hire. And I can understand why OU fans are over the top of it, just because there's some romanticism of what he did at OU previously and what he's accomplished at Clemson. I'm kind of in wait and see, but Joe Castiglione is no moron. And he has all the familiarity he needs with Brent Venables to make that call. It is kind of surprising, I'll grant that, but I'm going to trust that Castiglione, being the smart man that he is, knows what he's doing.
So Venables, back when I covered recruiting back heavily back in the early 2000s, the early aughts and late 90s, Venables was one of the best individual recruiters OU had. He was a tremendous one-on-one recruiter with kids, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I think he'll be good recruiting. What about the two? There's at least two players Texas is recruiting, or at least two players that Texas is recruiting from that are currently committed to OU or were committed to OU, the defensive back out of Arlington, as well as the linebacker out of Lubbock. What is the latest on those? And do you think the Venables hire absolutely impacts those recruitments, or it's just too early to tell?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's too early to tell just because we haven't made phone calls yet regarding him. We're waiting to see how that plays out. Yeah, and when I question him as a recruiter, it's not so much as a position coach, you know, with Bob Stoops over him or Dabo Swinney over him. That's a whole different dynamic than all these other piranhas coming at him and telling recruits, hey, we don't know what he is as a head coach. It's one thing for him to be defensive coordinator. So he's going to be fighting a different sort of recruiting battle than he's ever fought before. But you're definitely right that he is a good individual recruiter. Yeah, Kobe McKenzie out there at Lubbock Cooper, still in the playoffs. He's supposed to take an official visit to Texas. To me, he's more of an edge outside guy, but he plays with heavy hands. As you've mentioned before, he's strong through contact, and he's a straight line missile. I think that Texas is in a good spot. I think a lot of fans are assuming that he's going to end up in the class, but I'm waiting to see what Venables does there. It's got to be somewhat appealing for a defensive recruit that was committed to OU to finally see a defensive head coach once again. When, you know, maybe that defense hadn't been as tough as they should have been, even if in Grinch's going on third year now. So I think that if I'm a defensive prospect, I'm looking at what Venables has accomplished at Clemson, and the numbers he's put up are pretty staggering, and thinking that might be appealing. Also, I think that I think his dad is still commenting on OU website. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not much for reading between the tea leaves on what happens on social media or on these websites like that. But that has to count for something. You know, when you see a parent, you know, one parent last year was commenting on tech zags all the time. You pay attention to it. And of course, we have ours. So they're just better at concealing their identity. Hey. Xavier DB. Yeah, he's supposed to visit as well. He was a guy that they offered at camp, and then he went to camp at OU a week later, and they offered as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to make sure I talked over you right then. Go ahead and restate that name in the high school of the player that you're talking about now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Xavier Bryce, he's at Arlington Seguin. He's teammates with 2023 Texas defensive back commit Jamel Johnson. He turned heads at a Texas camp. In June, he did the same at OU. They offered and pushed harder. At the same time, Texas was still leaving a lot of options open for guys that they're still pursuing, actually, or that have lost since then. And so Bryce is back on the radar, and we're waiting to see what happens with him. But again, you know, these are two defensive recruits. It would almost be more interesting if they were targeting offensive recruits after losing the offensive coach. But yeah, we'll see what those guys do. If you're a defensive player, you know, like I said, Venables' track record is going to speak for itself.
Gotcha. All right. So that gets us through that portion of the OU Gary Patterson impact that we talked about. you and I know that tomorrow, Monday, a group of people will announce an NIL opportunity for offensive linemen that are going to the University of Texas, or that are enrolled at the University of Texas beginning August 1 of 2022. And that's on top of the Clark Field Collective that was announced last week, that we would have had more on had I not been under duress with COVID. But, you know, Texas is firmly needs more offensive linemen in this recruiting class. There's no doubt. They've got two solid good ones with Hudson and Robertson, right? But they're trying to take at least three more from high school right now. I don't know that Mario Cristobal has officially taken the Miami job as we tape this, but there sure is a lot of scuttlebutt that he will. If he does, it sounds like Texas would have a shot with Kelvin Banks. And even if he doesn't, it sounds like Texas would have a shot with Kelvin Banks out of Humble Summer Creek. And then potentially, if he does, Cameron Williams, the big offensive lineman out of Duncanville. They're both committed to Oregon currently, as well as the other group of Devin Campbell out of Arlington, Cam Dewberry out of Atascocita, Neto Umiozulu out of Allen, and Malik Ogbo out of the state of Washington. All right, all of that being said, and you know, what are you looking for right now? That the domino has to happen with Cristobal. Campbell, Jerry Hamilton announced is actually taking a second official visit to USC. Help me make sense of it all, I guess.
Yeah, this is crunch time. This is going to be one of the biggest recruiting weeks I can ever remember, especially for a single position group. You know, you've got the NIL thing that's going to turn heads. You've got the potential of Quinn Ewers that I think would have a positive impact. You've got Cristobal, which would help out. It's just going to be a wild week. Insane. Sarkisian has done well. He's been wise to hold off his in-home visits until this week, and he's going to do rapid fire. By the time he gets to that fifth offensive lineman, I guarantee you he and Flood are going to have their pitch down cold. It's going to be interesting to see what that NIL program, how it impacts things. That's the grand NIL program number two that we've been talking about. We've been telling the board about the Clark Field Collective and then also this one. We weren't 100% sure it would be ready to go public in time, but obviously that's not the case. So it's going to be out there, and it's going to be another selling point for the staff to overcome some of those schools that are even more creative in their ability to recruit. So Texas has two guys that are both interior, and maybe Cole Hudson can play right tackle in the same way that Hayden Connor might be able to, but they definitely need a tackle in Kelvin Banks, left tackle. Devon Campbell, I think, can probably play right tackle just because he's got such amazing feet and long arms. I'm happy. Texas fans should be happy that Bill Bidenbaugh didn't follow Lincoln Riley off to USC. We knew that Campbell was liking USC this summer, but he doesn't have an offensive line coach. The offensive line coach that he has a relationship with has stayed at OU, or looks like he's going to stay at OU. So that helps out Texas a little bit. Banks in proximity, that should help out Texas. Losing Cristobal will help. Umiozulu is a bit of a wild card in that he doesn't talk much, so he's you know, it's hard to get a good read on him. I think academics help that recruitment quite a bit. And I think Texas is in a quietly good spot for him. Dewberry, you know, Jimbo Fisher used his in-home last week. I think a lot of the feeling after that one was that A&M was in a good spot. But I think that Texas has a chance to win that one late as well. So they've got a lot of irons in the fire. Obviously, Agbo seems to be between Texas and Auburn. You got to like UT's chances there. So I think they're going to end up getting – I think they're going to end up hitting their number, but I have no idea how they're going to do it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I don't know how they get there in the high school class, but they need five, you know, and they've got two. And I think there's seven on the hook. Is that right? Still that are possibilities. So as I speak to it, that's kind of where I'm at. I have no clue, but I know they need three more. And then the portal is a totally different animal. Let's talk briefly about the portal, because obviously we've mentioned Quinn Ewers. We've also talked about the linebacker from UNLV, last name Winman. I can't remember his first name off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Tremendous player from the looks of it.
Right. It's worth saying that his defensive coordinator in high school was current defensive analyst, Cordae Hankton. So there's a previous relationship there, at least to some degree. And then obviously the ability to come in and start immediately is there for him as well. But yeah, he's a good player, as you mentioned.
He's got some natural pass rush moves just from what I watch him. But so you've got him and you've got Ewers that Texas is truly attacking in the portal, right? Anybody else out there that they're truly attacking at this point in the portal?
I wouldn't say that. You know, we've hinted at one guy that we expect to go in the portal. And once that happens, I think that Texas is going to be a serious player. But obviously, we're not going to give that name out yet. He would he'd be a player that fans are excited about. But, of course, he's not in the portal yet. They're also looking at offensive linemen. But, you know, they're more focused on high school offensive linemen at the time. They're trying to close out that class. And I think that's taking priority. So, you know, I've reached out to a number of those guys. Joe Cook has reached out to a number of them. A lot of them haven't heard anything. Tyrese Chambers, talented wide receiver in there. He doesn't really fit the profile, but right now Texas would be happy to have a number three that could just come in and be productive and catch the ball. But he hasn't heard of him. So I think they're waiting to see exactly what happens after the season. And as more guys enter the portal, you know, I don't think we're even getting started with the portal yet.
I think you're right. I think that the majority of the portal guys will come in after bowl games. And that's what happened last year, if I'm not mistaken. We charted it at some level, and it showed a huge influx of portal after the bowl game, after the fall semester was actually complete, right? All right. Last thing I want to mention, and I know we're running late here, defensive backs that Texas is recruiting. I know there are other spots Texas is recruiting as well, but still out there, Denver Harris, Harold Perkins, they're recruiting for that star position or that jack. Yep. I don't know exactly what the terminology is.
Nickel, yeah.
Yeah, and then Kendrick Law, the young man out of Shreveport that just is one of the top players in the country that I think Blake Gideon is all in on. On top of everything else they've got going on, how are those three guys faring right now? I think Perkins dropped a top three of which were those?
Texas, A&M, and LSU.
Okay, and then Harris is A&M. OU, A&M, Texas, and Alabama.
LSU is in there as well. I think LSU is ahead of Alabama would be a surprise to me at this point.
Okay, gotcha. And then what about Kendrick Law?
Yeah, that looks like Texas and Alabama at this point. I don't know if the new hire at LSU is going to change the game there. He's supposed to take his official visit. Man, it's Law this weekend or next weekend. I think his official visit's happening right now, actually, on Kendrick Law. I need to fact check that. Maybe we can put something in the comments of this video so I can get clarification for the viewers. But I think he's on official visit. We've just had so much going on the last couple of days. I haven't checked. The one that I have the best information on is Denver Harris. I know it's kind of become commonplace to assume that Texas might be out of it. I don't think that's true. That's definitely not true. Based on my latest information this weekend. Like I said, some of these recruitments are going to have a wild finish. Jimbo used his in-home. It's common for a recruitment or a school to gain some momentum directly after the in-home visit. I think Jimbo had that with Cam Dewberry as well. Texas is going to get every shot to counter, and they've been working that recruitment really hard this weekend.
Got it. Anything else you want to comment on before we call it a show here, Eric?
No, the themes that we've been touching on are really coming to bear, Bobby. The NIL stuff that we've been mentioning is we're going to see how much of an impact that makes. I think a lot of the false stereotypes of the lazy UT donor base are going to be proven to be incorrect. They should have already been proven incorrect long ago, but, you know, we'll see them keep putting their best foot forward and trying to improve the program every way they can. And we're going to find out what kind of closers these coaches have, because despite 5-7, they are going to have some tailwinds. You know, the NIL program, potentially getting Quinn Ewers to be the football face of the program and give them a positive boost. That potential is there as well. That's kind of why Quinn is important, is he kind of, you know, Sark is the face of the program, but they don't really have a player face besides Bijan Robinson, and running backs are kind of dependent on all the other pieces around them. So getting Quinn would be a huge boost, solidifying the offensive line. This is just a huge week in Texas football. We could probably talk an hour about each of these aspects, Bobby, but we'll have to do another midweek video just to see where we're at.
Yeah. I want to add two things before we go. I agree with everything you said. One, I think Justin Wells reported that Evan Stewart, or it was Justin or Jerry, I can't remember, reported that Texas continues to recruit Evan Stewart, which is not surprising, but it's interesting to hear, the nation's number one receiver out of Frisco. And then
He's still very open to Texas communication.
Okay. And then the second piece for me that I neglected to mention when we were talking about Patterson and Stoops and that story, as well as Venables and even Cristobal to some degree, is Brian Kelly, which you kind of hit tangentially when you mentioned Denver Harris. Brian Kelly, the new coach at LSU, he's a good recruiter. He's an okay recruiter. He's not Ed Orgeron. He's not Les Miles, and he's not Nick Saban.
LSU isn't Notre Dame either, and he's going to get a lot of support that he didn't have otherwise.
No doubt. No. So I'm not saying that there's not some inclination there that allows for it. I'm just saying that's different to me. That's going to be a new look idea of what it means in not only in Houston for LSU, but even the state of Louisiana, because he may be more inclined to go elsewhere for some players than just in his backyard. And I think it's going to be interesting because in his first move was to fire Tommy Moffitt.
Yeah.
Longtime strength and conditioning coach. Not that I know Tommy Moffitt's this or that. It's just there's some upheaval there. They are keeping a couple of coaches on, including their cornerbacks coach, Corey Raymond, who is one of the better recruiters in the country. But I wanted to cover that because I think LSU also ties into Texas. You know, there's some pieces there. All right. For Eric Nahlin, I'm Bobby Burton. Please consider a subscription to InsideTexas.com. It is that time of year, folks. It is recruiting every day and all day. And if you want the latest up-to-date information, there is no better place than InsideTexas.com. Also, please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel. I'm glad to be back. It's been a week away, and I'm so happy to be over the COVID crap. That was exhausting. All right. Take care, Eric. Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right.